Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we have our own battle going on with coronavirus. There's 200 and some people now tested positive in the country and about 11 deaths, which is remarkably low. But we thank the Lord for that. But we are also in a curfew situation, no traveling or no moving about from our particular town. And also people are being required now to wear masks. And so in some ways, even though the numbers are low here in Kenya, we are going through the same type of situation that you are in America. Well, in studying my Bible this week and studying about the coronavirus and looking at all the news reports, I have prepared a message called Stopping the Plague. And I looked at some of the situations in the Bible where a plague had come about for different reasons. A plague had been maybe ordained, or you could say sent by the Lord, or sent by the devil, however you want to call it. The Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign over every situation, even crisis situations, even calamity. And so in these situations where there was plague and there was death and destruction going on in the country, we can look at what the people did to respond and how the Lord responded to the prayers and to the cries of the people, and how he responded in such a way that the plague was stopped and they were given a reprieve from that particular situation. And so I think we have the same type situation going on here with the coronavirus. It is a virus that has now engulfed the whole world and brought death and destruction to people in just about every nation in the world. But I believe it's also a time of reflection. I believe it's a time of prayer. I believe it's a time for personal and national repentance. And so God is not going to waste this opportunity. He's not going to waste his time. He wants every single person. Beloved, even the churches are shut down. Even the houses of worship, people can't go and admire the beauty of the buildings or admire the great music, the worship team, or admire the person sitting in the row down from them. Every single person now is in their own domicile. They're in their own place of worship. Jesus said, "The time will come when people will worship me in spirit and in truth." They're not going to be worshiping me on this mountain or that mountain or over here or over there in a particular place. They're going to be worshiping me in spirit and in truth. And we are at that day right now, beloved. We are in our individual domiciles. It's a one-on-one conversation between the Lord and the people of the earth. And they can't rely on their pastor. They can't rely on their intercessor. They can't rely on the beautiful worship team and the beautiful building. They have to come clean and get right with the Lord in a one-on-one conversation. He has stripped everything from us. He has stripped all of our idols from us, our sports teams, our Sunday watching football, and our Sunday watching baseball and NBA basketball, and all of these other idols, the shopping that we do to take our mind off our life, the drinking that we do, all of these things have been stripped away. And the Lord is saying, "I want to have a one-on-one conversation with you. Where do you stand with me and with my son, Jesus Christ? What does Jesus mean to you?" And if you have not made that decision in your life to follow Jesus, if you have not made that decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this may be the right time to do it. It is always the right time to do it, but this may be the perfect time for you to do it. If you have never accepted Jesus, this may be the time when God is saying, "I want you to make a decision." You are in the valley of decision, and this virus has been released And it can't go back into the barn. The horse can't go back into the barn. And God is going to use this situation to bring glory to Him. God is going to use this situation to bring people into the kingdom in ways that they never imagined before. God is going to use this situation and receive the glory from it, because there's going to be a great harvest in the kingdom that will come about because of the coronavirus. Well, as I spoke before, we're going to look at some situations here in the Bible where there was virus, where there was plague, and not necessarily virus, but some type of plague. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to 2 Samuel 24. And the first situation we're going to look at is King David has numbered the people of Israel, and he was enamored with his army, you might say. He was proud of his army. King David was a man of war. He went out to battle against the Philistines and against many of the enemies of Israel. And so he was a man of war, and so he was very proud of his army. And so he numbered the people of Israel, because God had given the kingdom over to King David, and God had brought peace about him on every side. And so David, against the instruction of the Lord, against the wishes of the Lord, he had numbered the people of Israel. And so God was angry with him. God sent a prophet to him to tell David that the Lord was going to offer you three things as punishment, and David had to choose for himself which punishment he wanted to experience. And that would, beloved, that would be a tough choice, because you know whichever one he chose was going to be a painful experience, not only for him, but also for the children of Israel. Well, we'll take it up here in verse 15. David chose to take a plague upon the children of Israel, and it would last for, I believe, 3 days. And so in verse 15, it says, "The Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died." And so because of David's foolishness and his lack of wisdom, 70,000 people have died now. And David has that on his conscience. He has that blood on his hands. And so he has to take responsibility for the death of 70,000 people. Verse 16, "When the angel of stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the temple, 'It is enough. Now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arana the Jebusite. And then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, 'Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house.'" Well, that is lesson number one for us, beloved. David recognized that he had sinned. David recognized that he had been foolish and lacked wisdom, and made a decision when he numbered the people of Israel, that he had made a decision that had brought anger and wrath down upon himself and upon his people. And so he is remorseful, he is repentant, and he says here in verse 17, "Surely I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done?" Beloved, I believe that it is time for the people of America to reflect on their life, to reflect upon their lifestyle, to reflect upon their country. What is it that we have done that we can do better? Or what is it that we have done that we can cease to do that would please the Lord, that would bring blessings to the United States of America instead of the plague? And I believe, as I spoke a couple of weeks ago, there are some things in America, there is iniquity in America that needs to be dealt with. There is great sin in America that needs to be dealt with. I know this is not the popular message of the day. It's not the warm and fuzzy message that God is love And he cannot ever judge people, and he can never judge nations, because he loves us too much to cause us any pain or any suffering, or heaven forbid that he would ever have people go to hell when God has spoken about hell in the Bible, and Jesus has spoken about hell in the Bible, that we know there is an eternal judgment. We know there is an eternal place for people who have rejected the Lord. And so I believe that there is a time for repentance. I believe there's a time for individual repentance. And I believe there's also a time for national repentance. And maybe this is the time right now for people in America to cry out to the Lord and say, we have sinned. We have sinned, just like King David. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We have fallen short of the Lord's plans for us and the Lord's blessings for us. And I believe it's easy to spot what the sins of America are. All you have to do is read through the Bible a couple of times and you can figure out what God values. You can figure out what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like here on this earth. And beloved, even in America, the great nation that we are, and the great churches that we have, the great pastors and preachers that we have, the great godly prayer warriors that we have fallen way short of the glory of God. The iniquity of the people in America is great. The blood is in the streets, the blood of the innocents that have been sacrificed through abortion, the blood of the innocents that cries out from the land. The incinerators have been filled in America with the blood of the innocents, as they have been shed in abortion clinics and hospitals. And so the iniquity of America is great. And I believe the time now is for Americans to stand up, recognize that, or maybe not stand up, maybe stay on their knees and recognize that and do as King David did and say, surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? And so we need to cry out to the Lord. Another issue we need to cry out about is the promotion of perversion and homosexual marriage. And this is against God's will. He calls it abomination. It's not that he is angry with the people, and it's not that we don't love those people. It is the fact that this is not God's will, that the country of America promote abomination and perversion in the children and in the young people of America. And so there are many things that we can repent about. There are many things that we can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, we have sinned. We have fallen short of your glory, and we need to get things right with you. Well, David said, I've sinned, and these sheep are innocent. And David had great, great burden on his life because his decision had caused many to lose their life. Well, it says here that in near the threshing floor of Araunah that David fell on his face and worshipped. Well, David went to Araunah as he was threshing grain there at the threshing floor. And David said, let me build an altar to the Lord here. This is verse 21. Let me build an altar to the Lord that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king Araunah, have given to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. And verse 24, here's the key verse. Then the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which costs me nothing. Beloved, we need to make an offering to the Lord. We not only need to repent and confess our sin, but we need to make an offering to the Lord. If you have confessed your sin, if you have sin in your life and you've made a confession, make an offering to the Lord. Send a check to your local church. Send a check to a missionary. Send a check to somebody who is sharing the gospel. Do something to promote the kingdom that costs you something. Do something to promote the kingdom of God here on this earth, and don't expect it to be a painless offering. Do something in terms of sacrificing that causes you to have a little pain. And the king said to Araunah, "No, I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which costs me nothing." David said, "I don't want to offer things to the Lord that don't cost me anything." David said, "I want to sacrifice. I want to feel the pain. I want it to hurt just a little bit." And so when you make an offering, make it so that it hurts just a little bit. Make it so that it pinches you just a little bit to remind you that the Lord God is sovereign and the Lord God is watching over you, and the Lord God is the one who can stop the plague. Well, David bought the threshing floor from Araunah and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Well, there you see, the plague was stopped. It wasn't stopped by a vaccine. It wasn't stopped by hazmat suits. It wasn't stopped by fancy masks. It was stopped by the Lord, and the Lord stopped it immediately when David repented, when David confessed his sin, and David made an offering to the Lord. And the Lord says, "That is what I'm looking for." And so the Lord says, "I will stop the plague." And guess what? The plague stopped. And David then had the threshing floor of Araunah, which incidentally became the place where Jesus Christ was offered. That very same threshing floor was the place that Jesus Christ was offered on Mount Moriah, or on the threshing floor of Araunah. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, was offered as the first fruits of all creation, where Jesus' blood was shed at the crucifixion, at that very same place. Well, in Numbers chapter 16, there had been a rebellion by the children of Israel, by some of the children of Israel, against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They're out in the wilderness area, and the people are becoming very tired. They're becoming frustrated because they're not seeing any progress moving towards the promised land. And so there was a rebellion against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And so the people, after Moses and Aaron prayed for the rebels disappeared off the face of the earth. The Lord opened up the earth and the rebels dropped down into it. I'm not going to preach on that right now. You can read Numbers 16 and read all about the rebellion and the consequences that the people had because of the rebellion. But in verse 41, the people are now coming against Moses again and complaining about his leadership. On verse 41, "And the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You have killed the people of the Lord.' And now it happened, when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Get away from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.' And they fell on their faces," that is, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. "So Moses said to Aaron, 'Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them," or make sacrificial offering for them. "For wrath has gone out from the Lord, and the plague has begun." Well, Moses and Aaron immediately, when they saw that the plague was consuming the people of Israel, the first thing they did was get down on their faces. Why do you think they got down on their faces? They weren't looking to protect themselves from the plague. They got down on their faces to cry out to the Lord, to make prayer and a cry of repentance to the Lord because they felt the burden of the people of Israel, and they knew the Lord was not happy with them for their complaining attitude. And so because Moses and Aaron had a heart for the children of Israel, they had a leader's heart for the people that they were leading, they got down on their faces before the Lord and they started to cry out to him and said, "Lord, we have sinned. Lord, do not take it out on these sheep. We have sinned because the plague is now consuming them." And so they were pleading for the life of the children of Israel. And then Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it." The censer represents the prayers of the saints. "And take it quickly to the congregation." And so Aaron stood between the living and the dead. And that is what we do when we make intercession. I'm standing between the living and the dead. I'm crying out to the Lord that we need to repent in America. I'm standing between the living and the dead in Kenya. We need to repent in Kenya. We have a multitude of sins in Kenya and a multitude of transgressions and iniquity here in Kenya. And I'm also standing between the living and the dead, interceding for them and for us here in the nation of Kenya. And Moses said, "The wrath has gone out from the Lord, and the plague has begun." And so Aaron took the censer as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living. Verse 48, there it is right there. He stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. No vaccine, no mask, no hazmat suits, no social distancing. He stood between the living and the dead and was making atonement and making prayers and repenting of the iniquity and repenting of the complaining attitude, the complaining nature of the people of Israel, and the plague was stopped. Well, beloved, the Lord can stop the coronavirus just like he allowed it to start. He can stop it. The Chinese are not going to go around the world and stop it. Don't wait for that. And neither is the World Health Organization. God alone can stop it. That's not to say that we shouldn't do the things the government is asking us to do. Yes, you can sit 1 meter away from your wife or sit 1 meter away from your friend at the coffee shop. But beloved, it's God that is going to stop this plague. And we need to get on our knees just as Moses and Aaron. We need to get on our faces and cry out to the Lord and get our censers and put the prayers of our self and put the prayers of the saints in those censers and make atonement and cry out to the Lord, and he will stop the plague. Verse 49. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700 besides those who died in the Korah incident. Well, there was another 250 or so that died in the Korah incident. Those were the rebels. And so altogether, there was about 15,000 people that died in the plague. And so Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Well, beloved, that is a good teaching for us. King David fell on his face. King David asked the Lord to forgive him because he had numbered the people. He recognized his sin. And also Moses and Aaron recognized the sin of the children of Israel. They were complaining. They were still in a rebellious attitude towards the leadership that God had instituted over them. And so they cried out to the Lord. They interceded. They stood between the living and the dead, and the Lord stopped the plague. Well, beloved, I believe there's a lot for us that we can learn from this coronavirus. And it's not just how to make nice masks. It's not how to do church services while sitting in our cars. We need to get right before the Lord. We need to acknowledge the Lord and his plan, not only for us as individuals, but for America and for Kenya. And beloved, I believe that if we can learn from this situation, I believe that if we can cry out to the Lord, ask for his mercy, and say, "Lord, we have been ignorant, we have been rebellious, we have been willfully stubborn, And Lord, I thank you for giving us reprieve. I thank you for stopping the plague. Let me just pray right now with those of you out there listening, and we'll pray to finish this broadcast today. And I'm going to ask the Lord to stop the plague, to stand between the living and the dead. Father, we know that you hold in your hand the fate of all men, that you are a sovereign God, even over things as wretched and evil as this coronavirus. We ask you to stop it. Lord, we repent of our sins. We repent of our national sins. We repent of our individual sins. Lord, we have been stubborn. Lord, we have been rebellious. We have been, in some ways, downright evil. And we have shed innocent blood, and we have promoted things in this country that you call perversion and abomination. And Father, we pray that you will forgive us and you will stop the plague as it has consumed us, and it has wrecked our lifestyle, wrecked our economy. And Father, we pray that you will stop it, Lord, because we know that you have the ability and the sovereign power to do this. We pray the blood of Jesus all over the coronavirus, all over every single person who puts the blood of Jesus over the lintel and the doorposts of their house. We pray for protection and we pray for safety at this time of peril in the United States and around the world. And we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, confess him today. Get down on your knees. God will forgive you. He was faithful and true to bring you into the sheepfold. Jesus' blood was sufficient to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Jesus' blood shed on the cross was sufficient to raise you up, a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. Well, thank you for listening today. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Stay tuned for contact information coming up in just a minute. God bless you. Tune in again next week.